and torn dress. "Shayna, help me out of this," I twist back to Edward, "and then take me to the rebels." It's a 30-minute trek through the forests and back alleys into the Shadowed Lands, but we make it in one piece. And now I'm in the second story of the Elephant Bones Tavern, staring out of the double doors leading to the Juliet balcony. Anxiety filling me to the brim as I stare at the hundreds of people standing outside, spread so far. I wonder how many acres they must cover. "Morale is low," Belinda, the woman I've only seen once before when she rolled a severed head to my feet, hisses as I strap blades to my thigh and take the pistol from Edward's hands and place it in a holster on my side. She watches me, her gaze wary. "You don't trust me," I say. She tilts her head. "You are the king's." I reach out, placing my hand over hers. "I am your king's, and I will save him with or without his people." Her grin spreads across her rotten teeth, and she waves her arm at the door. "Well then, time to convince his people." My stomach flips, nerves threatening to tear me apart from the inside out. But I swallow them down, closing my eyes and trying to reach through the ethers to find Tristan's power and channel it until he infuses my every cell. With a deep breath, I step through the doors and out onto the balcony. The air grows still and tense. I lick my lips as I look out over the rebels, the hyenas, putting faces to the thought of them for the first time. There are small children staring up with wide eyes, women and men with sorrow in their eyes and exhaustion lined in their paws. Ragged and worn, but glorious. These people are the lifeblood of Gloria Terra, just as we are in Silver, and they deserve to be able to live free. "I am not your king," I start.
"No shit," someone yells out. My chest tightens.
"I'm terrified to be standing before you, so much so that every fibre of me wants to turn around and run away. But your leader is in trouble." Closing my eyes, I picture Tristan, swallowing around the agony that strips me bare at the thought of never seeing him again, never feeling his lips brush against my skin or his love devour me whole. I think of all the whispered secrets he's spoken to my soul, of how I was his filthy girl and how he couldn't wait to see me in a crown and at his side, of his vision for the future and the memories of his past. My eyes pop open. "I don't pretend to know what it is you've gone through, but I've seen struggle and I've known strife." I hesitate. "When I came to Saxum, it was to kill the Farsars, every last one, including the Scarred Prince." Rumbles sound through the crowd. "But then I got to know him," my throat swells, "and he made me believe in a better way." My eyes scan their faces, noticing Belinda has moved to the front of the crowd down below, Edward and Shayna standing at her side. My eyes lock on my friend and she nods, giving me strength.
"It's over," a woman says. "They caught him, we've lost."
"You would give up so easy?" I argue. "How many times has he proven himself to you, over and over? And yet at the first sign of struggle, you turn your back?" I shake my head, praying that my words hit their mark. I don't know any of this for sure. I'm only going off what Tristan has said, trusting that he speaks the truth. Belinda steps forward, turning toward the crowd.
"He saved me when I went into the castle and was promised certain death."
The rumbles grow louder. Then Shayna steps forward and my heart pounds.
"He brings you food. He clothes your babes."
Gratefulness wraps around my chest and tugs.
"He's risked his life to give you yours," I cut in. "But this isn't just about him. I will get him back with or without your help. This is about standing up and seizing the moment. About vengeance for every time they've killed someone for simply speaking truth. For every curse and every name, every bruised and broken bone as they screamed you weren't worthy."
Faces change in the crowd, an electric feeling pulsing through the air, building higher with each second.
"I'm not great with words," I continue. I can't wrap the atrocities of what has been and realities of what will come in a pretty bow and make it look like it's in your favour. I slam my fist against my chest. But together we rule and divided we fall. I'm asking you, begging you, to stand with me. There is no one better to lead you than Tristan Farsar. And he deserves your fight, the same way he has always fought for you. Belinda is the first to fall, her head bowed, a loud wail crying from her throat. And then, as if in slow motion, others follow. One by one, they sink on bended knee, a chant starting slowly. At first, I don't understand what it is they say, but it grows and rolls over the air and hits my chest as surely as if they struck me in the heart. Long live the Queen! Long live the Queen! Tears spring in my eyes as I look over them, staring down at the people. My people. The lifeblood of Gloria Terra, trusting me to lead them to their king. We are warriors! I raise my voice until it's soaring over their heads like arrows. This is the revolution, and it's time for us to take back our home.
Chapter 52. Tristan.
Psst.
My eyes struggle to open, my head foggy as I come to. And once I do, I wish I hadn't, because there isn't a single piece of me that doesn't ache. My bones feel brittle, my muscles atrophied from lack of use, and I'm quite certain it's been days since I've had a drink of water.
Tristan!
A small voice chokes out, and when it registers who it is, then I do force my lids open, staring down into the horrified face of Simon, his toy sword limp at his side, and his face scrunched in terror.
What have they done to you?
My tongue swipes over my chapped lips and my mouth pries itself apart, unsticking my dry tongue from the roof.
Little lion, I rasp out. You shouldn't be here.
His eyes glance around the courtyard, the sun setting behind the horizon and casting an orangey glow on the ground. I flick my gaze to the guard standing at the side, his eyes looking at Simon and then to me, but not moving from his spot.
Leave, Simon.
I try to infuse strength in my voice, but come up short. He hiccups, stepping closer, and when he does, the guard moves too, tightening his grip on the rifle at his side.
Simon, leave.
Urgency spreads through me. He shakes his head, big fat tears spilling from his eyes.
I can't. Where's Lady? Why isn't she here?
His voice grows manic.
She could save you. Why did they do...
Simon!
Pain tears through my side, the scabbed over wounds reopening, and I grimace.
Go to your mother, okay? I'll be fine. This is just...
The guard moves over now, stepping in front of me and blocking my view, and my chest splits open, realizing that this is the last time I'll ever see Simon's face. The last time I'll get to hear his voice or tell him he's strong. The last moment that he'll see me and know that I'm not. He doesn't even know we're family. Simon rages, throwing his toy sword up at the guard.
Unhand him!
The guard chuckles.
I want to work on that raw kid. Get out of here, I don't want to hurt you.
Something cracks in the distance, and all of our eyes turn toward the noise.
What was that? The guard asks.
Another sound, this time closer, and although I can't explain it, a feeling trickles down my spine, infusing me with a bit of strength. Simon's gaze locks on mine.
I'm going to save you.
Panic wraps around my middle, not knowing what's about to happen, but feeling in my gut that whatever it is, it's no place for him to be.
Someone already is, I lie. Go wait for me in the tunnels, okay?
My voice is breathy and weak.
I'll meet you there.
His lower lip trembles.
Promise?
Promise.
Something tugs at my wrists, causing the worst physical pain of my life as my arms drop from where they've been hung. My eyes spring open, meeting the silent pitch black of the night, and my body drops to the ground. Delicate hands grab at my face, and I try to shake the fog from my mind so I can focus on what's in front of me. Something in the air has shifted. Something has changed. Water dribbles over me, and I tilt my head back, opening my mouth, gulping the liquid, allowing it to soothe my parched throat and sore muscles. Finally, logic filters back in, and Sarah's beautiful, perfect features come into my view, looking like an angel of death as she grins. She's tied her hair in a bun, but curls fall out of the edges, and there's a deep red line smeared across her cheek that looks a lot like blood. "Are we in heaven?" I murmur. I try to lift my hand, but agony shoots through my limb. She grimaces.
"No, my love. Right now, we're in hell."
I cringe when she helps pull me to a sitting position, and I shake my head of the haze and glance around. The guard from earlier is dead, sprawled on the ground with a shiny dagger sticking from the front of his throat.
"How?"
"Shh," she whispers, her arms running down my naked chest and over my torn-up body.
"I'll have to relocate your shoulders."
Her eyes meet mine.
"It will hurt."
I manage a soft smirk. "No more than thinking you were dead." She smiles, leaning in to press a soft kiss against my lips, and with a sharp snap of her body weight, there's an acute agonizing pain, followed by a dull throb. Groaning, I sink my teeth into my bottom lip until I taste blood.
"One more time. Ready?"
"Yeah."
She snaps it back into place before I can finish the word, and I let out another groan of pain. Glancing around, she digs a small bottle out of her pocket. "Laudanum. Are you going to drug me now?" She lifts a brow.
"Just take a little for the pain."
I grab the bottle and allow the bitter liquid to slide down my throat, and then she helps me to a stand. My body is worn and tired, shaky and bruised, but I'm alive. She's alive. How is this possible? Shouts sound in the distance and she places her hand over mine, looking at me. Fear squeezes my chest. I just got her back. I'm not ready to lose her again.
"Can you run?"
she whispers. I nod, and she pulls me along with her, my muscles screaming in protest and my lungs burning as we sprint from the middle of the court to the far east side, hiding behind a wall that leads into the tunnels. The courtyard lights flare to life, and dogs bark in the distance, and I know before anything is said, that means the military will be flooding here soon. If I hadn't convinced Michael to send away most of his troops, she wouldn't have even made it to me.
"What did you do?"
I ask, gripping her face.
"You left the rebellion,"
she says, smiling up at me.
"So I brought the revolution to you."
My heart cracks wide open and I need to kiss her, even though I shouldn't, even though I'm beaten and worn, and I'm sure I smell like death. I bend down anyway, shoving my tongue in her mouth and dragging her into my newly formed scars, reveling in the pain it causes, because if we're going to die, I'll be damned if I don't get to taste her one more time. Moaning, she gives as good as she gets, and then she breaks away.
"I have them in the tunnels."
My stomach cramps.
"The rebels?"
She nods.
"I wasn't sure if Michael knew of them, but it was our best chance to break into the castle, to make our way here without being shot at and killed. Edward's with them, and they're ready to fight, Tristan. We can do this."
I bob my head, taking in her words, even as shouts sound closer now than they were before, and a gunshot rings from outside of the castle walls. Any moment now and we'll be caught. And then a sick thought hits me and my heart ramps up in my chest, exploding through the cavity as I grip her arm.
"Sarah."
She looks up at me from where she was peering around the corner.
"Simon is in the tunnels."
Horror overcomes her features, her mouth parting wide and her eyes growing big.
"Are you sure?"
"Positive."
"Tristan, you have to get him out."
I shake my head, my jaw tensing as my soul tears in two, fighting between what I know is right and what I refuse to do. I'm not leaving you here. She grins, although I see the turmoil brewing in her dark gaze. Do you think you fell in love with a weak woman? My chest pulls, emotion wringing my bones. I can take care of myself, she promises, her words tasting like the most bitter type of lie. Go, save your nephew. My breath whooshes from my lungs. She knows. Of course she knows. Doors from the castle slam open, echoing through the nighttime air, and as I peer around the corner, I see at least 2 dozen uniforms with dogs pulling at their leashes. Sarah! A loud voice rings out. She falters from where she was just pushing at my chest, her eyes narrowing as she spins to face away from me. There's no escaping us, sweet niece. Come out and surrender, and we shall grant you mercy. She moves forward, her anger so potent I can see it singeing off her skin. Are you fucking insane? I snap, grabbing her arm. Do not go out there. We've found all of your friends, her uncle continues. If you both surrender, we'll let them live. Go, she demands, prodding at me. I shake my head back and forth, a ball of absolute terror expanding in my chest, making me hyperventilate as I struggle to breathe. Tristan, listen to me, she pleads. You know the tunnels like the back of your hand. You're the only one who does. Her eyes well with tears. I'll never forgive myself if something happens to him, and even though you won't admit it, neither will you. You have to save him. Please. Talons rip through my chest cavity and tear out my heart, throwing it on the ground at her feet. I don't bother picking it up, knowing it only beats for her anyway. My nostrils flare as I grip her face in my hands, my eyes soaking up her features as I rest my forehead against hers. You are not allowed to die. Do you hear me? I will come back for you. Her lip trembles. I know. I pull her close when she tries to turn away, pressing her lips to mine one last time. If something happens, know that I will find you in every lifetime, Sarah Beatro. You are mine, and not even death can keep you from me. She muffles a sob and shoves at my chest, and I turn and run, sprinting toward the tunnels. Chapter 53. Tristan. It had to be me. As much as I wanted to sacrifice myself and let her flee in my place, it had to be me. No one knows the tunnels as well as I do. No one else could have gotten Simon out in time. The military pressed in on the rebels from all angles, and when they were pressured, they panicked, creating a human stampede. I felt the rumbles on the tunnel floors as I sprinted through them, fighting the fatigue and the unbearable pain of my tortured body. I heard the screams as they echoed off the stone walls, people crying as gunshots were fired and people pled for their lives. But I found him, his arms wrapped around Paul, his leg bent and broken and tear tracks on his face, his mother lying trampled at their feet. You came, he whispered, just like he promised. So how could I turn around then? Even if everything in me was screaming to go back to where I left my heart, I grabbed Simon and Paul instead, and I set them free, banishing them from Gloria Terra, to keep them safe. It's been 3 days since, and while my body is sore but healing, my mind is a gutter of a place to live. Michael is taunting me with Sarah's captivity, but at least she's alive. He has publicly stated if I give myself up, turn myself in, he'll let her go. I'm now an official outlaw, and all the while people of Saxum are none the wiser to the truth of what happened. They have no clue people are lying dead in the underground tunnels, their bodies decomposing, and their children crying as they search for their missing parents. I could pretend if I tried, could put on a mask and weep for those we've lost, But I'm tired of playing games, and the only thing I care for is holding Sarah in my arms. Until I have her back, nothing else matters. Besides, out of the grief from those we've lost comes fury. And my people are furious. Edward heaves a deep sigh as he grabs the joint from my hand and puffs on the end, leaning against the brick wall behind the patisserie in downtown Saxham. Are you sure you want to do this? I cut him a glare. If I don't, then all of your hard work over the past few days is for naught. Where I've been healing with tinctures and potions to speed my recovery, Edward has been busy whispering words in his soldiers' ears, swaying them to our side, making sure they know just who it is that they serve, gathering our forces from every corner and laying out our plans. You should take Shayna and leave town, I say. You've served me well, Edward. I don't wish to see you both perish. He grits his teeth, shaking his head. Our loyalty is to you. Loyalty means shit, I hiss. I am trying to spare you, Edward. You're my only friend, and the only one who has stood by me through it all. Please take this gift, and let me do this on my own. With all due respect, Your Highness, he straightens. I'm not leaving until you're either dead or wearing the crown. Clenching my jaw, I nod, peeking around the corner and seeing there's about a dozen military men laughing and walking into the town's bar. Right on cue. Are you ready then? I turn toward him. Let's burn it down. I smirk, grabbing the joint back from his fingers and slipping it in my mouth as I move to the bar across the street. I slam open the green double doors with my boot, the thick wood hitting the walls as I step inside. There's about a dozen people here, most of them the King's military, and all of them with fresh drinks in their hand. I smile as they turn toward me, my insides feeling empty except for the burning flame of determination. Hello. A man at the front of the bar stands, his black stool spinning in place behind him. He creeps his arm toward his waist, reaching toward his weapon. Ah, I tisk, walking toward him. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I grab his wrist and snap it back, the gun flipping from his grip and into my own. Oops, would you look at that? I stare down at the pistol and then back to him. Another man stands, his brown hair sticking up in random spots and his grey eyes narrowed in disgust. Do you have a death wish? He laughs, glancing around. You must be as crazy as they say, walking into a bar filled with your brother's army. Chuckles float through the room, and I suck on the end of my joint, letting the smoke unfurl through my nose, as a few of them rise and point their guns at my chest. Chairs scrape and there's a flurry of activity, the sound of pistols cocking loud in the otherwise silent space. But instead of aiming them at me, they aim them at the ones who wish to harm me. Well, I am as crazy as they say, but I also brought reinforcements. Grinning, I throw my hands out to the side, the pistol heavy as it dangles from my finger. I suppose I should have led with that. I point between the four men who are now being held at gunpoint. Now, I walk closer, taking the joint from between my lips. Which one of you wants to be the one who lives? They're all silent, obviously afraid to move, to breathe, in fear they'll be shot on the spot. I don't blame them. They would be. I'll tell you what. I clap my hands, ash falling like snowflakes on the floor. I'll be outside while you decide who gets to be the lucky soldier to take a message back to my brother. I cock my head. But I should probably warn you, I'm a little antsy. You see, he has something of mine, and I'm desperate to get it back. The man in the very front lifts his chin. What's the message? Sighing, I pinch the bridge of my nose, walking toward him and placing my arm around his shoulders. Fine. I roll my eyes, dragging him with me to the door. I pick you. I wave my hand behind me, and gunshots ring out in tandem, the sound of bodies dropping to the floor following soon after. I don't bother turning to look, but I make a mental note to never torture Edward again after how effortlessly he set up our plans when I wasn't able. Gripping the man to me tighter, I walk us through the front doors and outside, pointing at Edward, who's in front of the patisserie, then Shayna, who's at the building next to him, and then across the street to Belinda and Earl. Do you see them? His body trembles, but he nods. Good. Do you know what my favorite part about an ethanol fire is? I ask, glancing down at the glowing end of my joint. The uniformed men, who are now my loyal soldiers, leave the bar, walk down the steps and move to stand behind me. Your Highness, the man says, as I spin around to face him. It's extremely difficult to put out the blaze, I continue, cocking my head. You might want to move. He throws his body forward at the same time I flick my joint, grinning as it hits the building and catches on fire. I watch the flames, satisfaction brewing in my gut, before twisting to make sure the others have started theirs as well. They have. The guy on the ground gapes, wide-eyed at the four burning buildings, smoke curling up in the air as people scream and run outside, trying to escape the fires. I step closer to him, gazing down as he trembles at my feet. Tell my brother that if he doesn't give me Sarah, I will burn this entire city, this entire country to the ground, until he has nothing left to rule.
Chapter 54, Sarah B. This time, although I'm still in chains, at least I'm in a room. It's been days now. They haven't hurt me physically, in case they need to use me for photos in the press. They're trying to lure Tristan in by using me as bait. And through it all, the only thing I can think of is, he's alive. He made it. The door to my room opens, Michael and my uncle stepping inside, the way they do every day around this time, just to torment me. Sarah, Uncle Rafe starts, we don't wish to keep you chained up forever. Then kill me, I hiss. You are my blood, child. Don't be absurd. He sighs, walking toward me and sitting on the edge of the bed. Hatred burns bright in my chest as he does. Change is scary, I know. We've lost your cousin and your father, may they rest in peace. My insides boil at the mention of my father. But change is also good, he finishes, leaning in to pat my hand, the chains clanking when he does. I spit in his face. Rage twists his features, and he slams his hand against my cheek, his rings cutting across my skin. Smirking, I fling the curls from my eyes and glare at him. Finally, Uncle, your true colours show after so many years. Michael sighs from across the room. I'm tired of you two bickering. I should kill you just to be rid of it. I wish you would, I quip. If you think Tristan's angry now, just wait until he hears that I'm dead. I smile. I think I'll come back and haunt the castle walls just to watch the show. Heavy footsteps make their way down the hall and bang against the door. Enter, Michael spits. A young soldier runs into the room, his brow sweaty and his face pale as if he's seen a ghost. Your Majesty, he bows, I have a message. His eyes flicker around the room, hesitating when they land on me. From your brother. My heart leaps in my chest. Michael stands straighter, walking toward the man. And?
He's crazy, sire. He's burning everything. He sent me to tell you that he won't stop. Not until you give her back.
Michael's head tilts, growing still and calm.
What do you mean? He's burning everything.
The man's eyes flick to me one more time, and I lean in, something eager swirling through my gut. Thinking of Tristan coming to save me, just like he said he would.
I mean, the entire main strip of Saxham is gone, sire, he whispers, and now they've moved on to the eastern end. And the fires, water isn't working. They're spreading fast.
Michael roars, flipping the table next to him, the lamp sliding off the top and smashing to porcelain pieces on the ground.
He turns to face me, pointing his thick fingers at me.
This is all your fault.
I grin, my blood heating in my veins. You reap what you sow, Michael Farsar. May God have mercy on your soul when Tristan gets his hands on you. Yells sound from down the hall, and Uncle Rafe stands from where he was still sitting against the bed. Marisol appears in the open doorway, her cheeks flushed. Hope springs alive in my chest. I wasn't sure if she had survived after freeing me. She drops into a deep curtsy.
Your Majesty? Speak, woman.
Michael paces back and forth, wearing a hole through the deep burgundy carpet. The castle is on fire. My arm jostles as Michael throws open the front doors to the courtyard, dragging me along with him. I glance around, my nerves jittery, but I don't have to look for long. Because there he is, standing like a god in the middle of the court, his hands in his pockets, suspenders hanging off his waist, black sleeves rolled up to his elbows, and a joint between his lips. My beautiful, scarred prince. His eyes lock on mine, and a calm takes over. He came back.
Brother.
Michael growls from next to me, his fingers tightening on my arm. Tristan ignores him, his gaze sweeping up and down my body like he's checking for a single scratch.
Are you hurt?
No, I reply, but I wish for you to kill them anyway. He laughs, a genuine laugh, throwing his head back and cackling, smoke puffing out with his breaths.
How did you get through the gates?
Uncle Rafe steps forward, his cane slapping against the ground as he stops next to me, a few of the military guards following behind him.
Well, we tried to use the tunnels last time, and that didn't work very well.
Tristan smirks. Rafe's knuckles tighten around the top of his cane, and he glances to the few guards scattered around the entrance. My eyes move past them, and I can see smoke clouds pluming behind the gates. Licks of fire flickering with the wind.
Call the guards, you imbeciles!
Uncle Rafe spits at the soldiers who stand still.
You could try, Tristan drawls, but the dead don't often answer calls.
Michael slams me on the ground, and I roll forward, my face smacking against the concrete as my body flings down the cold stone steps until I'm splayed on the grass. I cry out from the surprise, and when I breathe deep, a sharp pain splices through my side. I glance up and see Tristan's grin drop, his eyes turning feral.
I warned you once what would happen if you touched her, he says. I've come to collect.
Michael yells,
I am the king! Seize him!
A few guards start to move, but hesitate before stalling once again.
They no longer answer to you.
Tristan's voice is lethal, and as inappropriate as it is, my body heats, arousal curling through me at the power that bleeds through his tone. And the few who do are smart enough to realize when they're fighting a losing battle. You see, brother, he continues, moving closer towards us, as if he's taking a casual walk through the court.
While you've spent your years throwing parties and rubbing arms with the men in high places, while you've planned and plotted and murdered our father,
he pauses and Michael stiffens.
I was in towns, in people's homes and in their ears, showing them a better way, showing them what would happen if they just pledged their loyalty to me.
Michael scoffs.
We killed your pathetic hyenas. Their corpses rot in the tunnels as we speak.
Tristan chuckles, twisting as he looks behind him.
You've always underestimated me.
And then he raises his hand in the air and flicks his wrist, and the heavy wooden gates come tumbling down. Dozens of people storming through them, with fury on their face and hyenas patched onto their sleeves. My chest swells with hope. Rebels! Tristan moves forward, and I surge to my feet, ignoring the pain in my side. He takes giant steps, and he doesn't stop until he reaches me. The second he touches me, my body comes alive. His arms smoothing up my sides and cupping my face, ignoring everyone.
Let me show you what a true revolution looks like, he whispers.
And then he kisses me. Yells and hollers sound from behind, and chaos breaks out. Although I couldn't tell you who was fighting who, I'm too lost in Tristan's mouth to care. He breaks away, and I turn just in time to see the castle doors fly off their hinges. Edward, Shayna, and Marisol carrying torches, flames crawling up the walls behind them. My heart pounds in my chest when I see them, and I bite back a sob, knowing there will be time for emotion later, because I can feel it even now. We will win. Tristan runs a hand down my hair before breaking away and moving toward his brother.
Where is our mother?
Is she still here? Will I be burning her alive, or do I get the pleasure of chasing her down and snapping her neck? Michael shakes his head back and forth, his eyes widening as he stares at the few dead guardsmen at his feet, and then swinging his gaze to where Edward is kicking my Uncle Rafe to his knees, pointing a gun at his head. No! I scream, running over to stand in front of them. Uncle Rafe coughs as he stares up at me.
You've always been the smartest child. Thank you.
Did you kill my father? I question, my voice low. His face drops.
Sweet niece, you must understand.
Throwing my palm in the air, I cut him off.
Tell me! I scream. Admit it was you! It was you all along! You planned it from the start, didn't you? Killed my father, then sunk your claws into my grief, moulding it to fit your goals.
His eyes widen.
I've always done everything out of love for our family.
I huff out a laugh, sorrow and anger bludgeoning my insides.
You don't love me. You don't love anyone but yourself.
He coughs again.
Please.
I don't allow him to finish, my fist snaking out and slamming into his face until blood spurts from his nose and he flies onto his back. Reaching over his head, I grab the torch out of Edward's hands, the weight of it comforting as it sits in my hand, and then I drop it on his chest, watching as the fabrics of his clothes are lit aflame. He screams, a piercing, high-pitched wail, and flies down the stairs, his bum knee making him stumble and fall as he rolls on the ground. But it's no use. And while I watch him burn alive, the blaze engulfing him the same way they're licking at the far castle walls, I feel empty. Because, as it turns out, there is no happiness in vengeance.
Milady, we must move,
Edward yells, grabbing my arm and running away from the fire that's now burning around the edges of the door.
Go!
I glance around, my stomach surging into my chest as I look for Tristan. But he's nowhere to be seen, and neither is Michael.
Where is he? I cry, fighting against Edward's hold to find him. He's already out of the gates, going after his brother.
I give in then, choosing to believe him, choosing to trust that after everything, after all of this, he wouldn't lead me astray. So I turn, lifting my skirts and running for my life, trying to escape the heat of the burning castle as it rages at my back.
Chapter 55. Tristan. Michael has always been a coward, so it isn't surprising when he flees, forcing my battered and still healing body to chase him around the front of the castle and out to the cliff's edge. The ocean rages against the rocks below us, and I stalk toward him, feeling for the first time in my life as though he realizes just how powerful I am. "They'll never let you rule," he sneers. "Not after this." I chuckle, sauntering forward as he backs up to the cliff's edge. "After what? The fires you started as the Mad King?" His face darkens. "They won't believe you. I think you'll find that I can be very convincing." I step in closer. His head swings around as he backs up another space, gravel flinging off the ledge and clacking as it bounces on the rocks on the way down. All these years, I throw my hand out to my sides. All the times you could have taken me under your wing and made me someone who worshipped you, but instead only made me hate myself. You're so dramatic, he scoffs. You had everything, I hiss, and all I wanted was a little bit of it too. His eyes grow wide, his hand slamming against his chest. I had everything. You must be out of your mind. Father only ever saw you. No matter what I did, it was always Tristan. You were the one he loved. I was just an obligation. I grit my teeth, my heart splitting in two. You don't get to talk about him, not when you're responsible for his death. He scoffs again. Oh, get over yourself, brother. You're no different from me. I killed him for the crown, and here you are killing me. I take another step forward and he falls back, his foot slipping out from underneath him, until he stumbles and falls, his body flinging over the edge. My heart lurches violently in my chest and I rush forward, staring down at him as he dangles by his hand, his face turning red and his eyes growing wild. Brother, he pleads. Tristan, please. Something implodes from the fire that rages behind me, growing closer every second to where we are. Time is of the essence, or else both of us will die in the flames. Despite that, I can't take my eyes off him. This is a very precarious position we're in, isn't it? I say, my eyes flickering to his hand as it grips for dear life onto the edge of the cliff. I frown. A little anticlimactic. Finally, I tear my gaze away, but only when I hear Sarah calling my name as she and Edward run out of the castle gates. Don't turn your back on me, Tristan! Help me! Michael screams. I spin around and walk toward him, crouching down, my palm gripping the top of his, and my face leaning in until we're so close I can see the fear as it swirls deep within his eyes. Your mistake, brother, was turning your back on me. My nails dig into the skin of his hand. I'd say long live the king, but we both know that would be a lie. And then I let go, watching his arms and legs flail, his eyes growing wide with terror as he falls, his body crashing on the rocks at the base of the cliff. When it's high tide, the water will rise and sweep away his remains, and we can go on, pretending as though he was never here. I blow out a deep breath, searching inside of myself for something to feel, expecting maybe happiness or relief or some type of enlightenment. But all I feel is disappointment. I had hoped to torture him for what he did. But I suppose I'll settle for taking his crown. I spin around, the heat of the fire getting much too close for comfort, Sarah and Edward both staring with wide eyes. Moving away from the cliff, I jog over to my little doe, wrapping her in my arms and slamming my mouth to hers, sucking her tongue inside of me, my hands groping anywhere they can reach, wanting to assure myself that she's here and she's real and she's mine. I should kill you for making me leave you here. She grins against my mouth. If we don't move, you probably will. What were you thinking, burning everything like this? I glance at the Saxham Castle, my home for the last 26 years, and my family's legacy for the last 3 centuries, and shrug. They wouldn't give you back.
Sarah B. Against all odds, we made it. It's been several weeks since Michael's death. The Queen Mother's execution is next week, and while normally that would be news, it's overshadowed by the Saxham fires. They lasted for 2 weeks before we were able to put them out. The entire city is decimated, half of the forest is burned, and the castle itself is destroyed. But the people are resilient,
and most of all, desperate for a leader, someone to step in and rejuvenate their hope. Tristan slid in effortlessly after spinning a tale of his brother, the Mad King, who framed him and burned down the city from insanity. And when Tristan speaks, people listen. They believe. Not that they'd have a choice. The throne defaults to him either way now that Michael is dead. None of them need to know it was him who started the flames. Now we're at the edge of town, ash still covering the streets, while Tristan holds onto my hand and weaves whispered words of promise to our people. I look out over the crowd as he speaks and see a flash of red from the corner of my eye. Tilting my head, I squint, realizing there's a young girl standing in the back, a hood over her face, and bright red hair peeking from the edges. Ophelia. Breaking away from Tristan, I make my way to the back, feeling his eyes on me the entire way, even as he continues to preach to the people. I follow her down a back alley and to the edge of the Feeke River. It runs along the border of Saxham, and is used for fishing and leisurely swims, although right now it's infested with soot, a black layer floating on top of the normal crystal clear surface. Ophelia, I say. I search for my anger when she turns to face me, but I find only sadness. Sorrow that this young girl wasn't who I assumed, and empathy for the way her face looks drawn and pale. Are you all right? Tears burst over the lid of her eyes, streaming down her face, her fingers gripping a large boulder to her chest. I was pregnant, she whispers. Shock flows through me. With Michael's child. She nods, hiccuping as she covers her mouth with her hand. But he made me cut it out. Said one bastard child was enough. Simon. My heart aches, and I take a step toward her. She glances up at me. I'm sorry, for what it's worth. And then she throws herself over the ledge and into the water, her body sinking to the bottom. My heart jumps into my throat, and for just a moment, I think of trying to save her life. But then I remember all I went through because of her, and I peer over the ledge, watching to make sure she drowns instead. Eventually, the bubbles stop popping on the surface. Spinning around, I jump when I run into Tristan's broad chest. Everything all right? He asks, wrapping me in his arms. I smile up at him. Everything's perfect. He leans down and kisses me before moving his lips to my ear.
Is she dead?
Nodding against him, he thrusts his erection into me, and I scoff, shoving him in the chest. He chuckles, his hand smoothing from my waist down until he grips my ass.
Such a bad girl. Watching a woman drown while I'm steps away promising the people their future.
He presses his lips to mine again, and I moan into his mouth, happiness suffusing through my every pore. Through it all, we survived. Even though we've suffered substantial loss, and even though our souls are stained in black, Tristan somehow makes me feel like the luckiest girl in the world. And I guess, in a way, I am. Because my heart belongs to the scarred prince, the rebel's savior, the crowned king of Gloria Terra, and he made me Queen of the Ashes.
Epilogue. 7 years later. Tristan.
Tristan, Sarah moans. The people are waiting.
So let them wait, I whisper in her ear. She is pushed up against the hallway wall, her skirt around her waist, my cock bobbing free as it slides between her creamy, pale thighs, making me crazy with the need to sink inside of her. And I do. I drive myself deep into her warm, wet hole and start thrusting, desperate to fuck her harder. Arousal spreads through my nerves until I can't see straight, love and lust exploding through my pores as my dick spears between her legs, glistening with her every time I pull out. "Your pussy is a thirsty girl, isn't she?" I rasp against her, my hand wrapping around her throat and squeezing. When I don't have to rule this place anymore, I'm going to spend every single second of the day buried deep inside her, feeding her what she craves. Sarah moans again, her hands falling to the wall as she pushes back against me, grinding herself on my shaft as she works to get herself off. "That's right, filthy girl." My hand cracks against her ass cheek, the sound reverberating off the high archways of the hall. "Work that pussy on my dick until you come." Her walls flutter around my length, milking my every ridge until my orgasm tears through me, shooting deep inside her, and she, the wretched witch that she is, spins around midway through, my cock pulsing into the air as I groan at the loss of heat. But then she drops to her knees, her perfect little mouth opening wide, and her warm hand wrapping around my thickness, stroking until she drains every drop onto the flat of her tongue. She smiles and swallows, stuffing me back into my pants and righting her skirts. Winking, she stands up, running her hand over the jeweled tiara on her head. "Come on, we're late. Marisol's going to murder you if my outfit is a mess." She moves to walk in front of me, but I reach out, gripping her by her hair and pulling her back until her body slams into mine. I dive down, claiming her mouth, our tongues swirling together and my hands grabbing any part of her they can reach. Years later, and it never changes, this need for her never goes away. We've rebuilt Saxum from the ground up. New buildings and a new castle we've called home for the past 3 years. And we've spread the wealth throughout Gloria Terra, ensuring there aren't people struggling for food while others have feasts. I'm proud of what we've accomplished, but I would burn it all down again in a heartbeat at the first threat of losing her. My need to prove my place in this world has shifted and changed over the years, but the one constant has always been her. We walk down the hall of our home and open up the double-paned doors, stepping outside onto the large balcony and staring down at our people. Cheers rise from the crowd, and Sarah bounces on her toes, her smile lighting up with the biggest grin I've seen in months. "Are you excited, little doe?"
"No,"
she shakes her head. "Ma petite menteuse," I grin. "You still think I don't know you?" I pull her to me, not caring that we're in front of thousands of eyes. They all know their king is wild for his queen. Let them see just how much. "I know what your every breath feels like as though it is my own." Her eyes flutter, and I trail my fingertips down her collarbone. "I know what every heartbeat sounds like, because I've caused them all under my hand." I slip my touch even farther down, pressing between her thighs, right against that tattoo I promised I would give her. Tristan's property written on her for the rest of our days. And when we die, I'll hunt her down in the afterlife and figure out a way to brand her soul. "It's okay to be excited, little doe." I kiss her forehead and slip my hand into hers, tangling our fingers and turning to face our people. "The sun is shining bright today," and I glance around the balcony, Edward and Shayna off to the side, their 3-year-old son beaming up at me from where he's locked in Edward's hold. And then to the other side, to 2 newcomers, ones that Sarah goes to stand next to while I turn and speak. Blowing out a deep breath, I stare out at all the faces, reminiscing once more of all the things we've accomplished the past several years, and all the ways it turned out to be better than even my wildest dreams. A deep sense of contentment settles in my chest, and I glance behind me, soaking in Sarah's gaze, letting her infuse me with the strength to say what needs to be said. This is all for her anyway. She is my past, present, and future. She's the only thing I see. And this is what she wants, so I'll give it to her. Because if I'm honest, it's what Gloria Terra deserves. Friends, I start, twisting back around to stare out at all the adoring faces beneath us. It has been my greatest honor serving as your king, of rebuilding our home and fixing what has been broken for far too long. Cheers surge through the crowd and whisk through my body, electrifying me from the inside out. I'll miss this part the most. But today is a joyous day. I wave my arm to the side, toward where Sarah is beaming at the two newcomers, as though they're her long-lost friends. And I guess, technically, they are. Paul Warthog, aged and smiling, prods at the back of the person next to him, pushing him forward with tears in his eyes. Simon walks toward me, only stopping once he reaches my side. I take a long moment to soak him in. He matches me in height, his amber eyes far less innocent than they were when I sent him away all those years ago. But his smile is just as bright, and he draws me into a hug before I can stop him, his arms wrapping around my shoulders and gripping me tight. "Hello, Uncle," he says, his voice a deep timbre similar to his father's. Something warm expands through my chest as I pull back and smile. "Hello, little lion." I turn to Sarah, and she twists to grab something from behind her, walking it over and curtsying as she holds it out toward him. It's a sword. A real one this time, sparkling with jewels and encrusted with diamonds. It belonged to my father, and his father before him. Simon reaches out to take it, every inch of his smooth brown skin covered in dark tattoos, just the way he always wanted. Glancing over at me, he smiles. People in the crowd gasp, confused murmurs racing through the air. I turn back toward the crowd. "I'd like to introduce you all to Simon Bartholomew Farsa, son of King Michael III, rightful heir to the throne of Gloria Terra." Reaching up, I take the crown off my head and place it on top of his. "And the one true king."
This concludes the reading of Scarred by Emily McIntyre. Copyright 2021 by Emily McIntyre. This book was read by Ella Lynch and Paul Woodson. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Emily McIntyre and was produced in 2022 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.